He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Right. Let's do it again. A little bit of, let's get some ki ai, some fortitude in there. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I knew you could do it much better. Good. Thank you. That's my Easter greeting. Well, from many years ago, some friends of mine said to me, "He is risen." And I said, "Yeah, I know. I'm a Christian." They said, "No, Kevin, it's a greeting." I said, "Okay, he is risen. He is risen. No. He's risen indeed." So I like it. It's a good greeting. I'm so glad to be here. I didn't know if I could make it or not. And I had counseling. I didn't receive counseling, though I'd like to. Maybe I should set up with Pastor Hiroshi. I did some premarital counseling at 1:30, and the couple came at 1:33, and I was sweating, thinking, okay, I got 40 minutes, and if we don't get started real soon. And I had a couple of weddings this morning. Went well. Very good. And, you know, today my sermon is about amazing love, and there's something else amazing here. Chris is wearing a tie. Look good. Praise God. I'm just so glad for this privilege. You know, I don't get a lot of opportunity to be with you. I'd love to be here much more, but it's a great chance to be here, especially on my favorite day of the year. So let's just pray and get into God's Word. I won't keep you too long. I know it's been a long day for most of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this resurrection day. Thank you that death could not hold Jesus in the grave. Because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have new life. Thank you, Father, for your love so amazing. Lord, bless your word. Open up hearts and minds to receive your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in your bulletin, you probably saw about the whole chapter of John chapter 3. And that's a good scripture. But today we're going to read John chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. No? Can't hear me? Okay, maybe I should turn it on. Huh? Works better if it's turned on. You got it really loud. Huh? Now it's on. We're going to read John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And I'm going to use the New International Version that's in your in our pulpit Bibles. It's a good version. It might be a word or two changed from the 2011 version, but let's read John chapter 20. This is my favorite resurrection account. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I really, really like this for several reasons that I'll talk about in a little bit. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb. This is still Mary Magdalene. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus.
"Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful account. I love the fact that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene before any of the other disciples. A woman whom Jesus had healed and set free from 7 demons. He didn't appear to Peter. He didn't appear to John. John writes this, right? And he says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I want to say, well, John, Jesus didn't appear to you first, you know. He always adds that, you know, the disciple who Jesus loved. Well, you appeared to Mary first. It's a wonderful interaction because Mary had such a great need at that moment, an amazing need. And Jesus came he couldn't stop meeting the needs of his people. He met her need when he was here on earth before he was put to death on the cross. This whole resurrection day is about the amazing needs that you and I have as human beings. And Jesus shows us, even in this moment, when he's busy as all get out, he has to go back to the Father. He has to appear. He has to reveal himself. But he takes time to comfort hurting Mary in her amazing need. How amazing is the need that you and I have for Jesus Christ? And what did God the Father do? Did he just neglect our need? Did he say, well, get over it. Shape up. You can, you know, think positively. You'll be all right. That'll help you with your need. No, he didn't do that. He sent his one and only son to die for us and to stay in that cold, lonely grave for 3 days and then resurrect to meet our need. And Mary is outside the tomb. Jesus knows it's empty. The angels know it's empty. Yet Jesus takes time to comfort Mary. You know, before we are saved, we have an amazing need that nobody could describe except God the Father himself. He's the only one who knows the degree of our need. Jesus and the Holy Spirit know as well. But we don't understand as human beings our need. How many of us have been telling somebody about Jesus Christ, trying to get them to understand their need for a Savior, and we just can't quite do it. But it's an amazing need. Amazing. Why did I choose that term? I was thinking about it this week. And then on Friday, you know, I was wondering, should I, you know, I'm having trouble describing this word amazing. If you read the Gospel of Mark, you can find out that every time Jesus did a miracle, the people were going, we're so amazed at this guy. He's not like any of the other prophets or teachers. He's just amazing us every time he says something or does something. It's repeated over and over. So it's astonishment. It's unbelievable surprise when you're amazed at something completely out of the ordinary, beyond normal. Extreme need is another way. And a few years ago when I preached this, I talked about the extreme need that we have as human beings. But Jesus wasn't through with Mary. So, you know, some people teach that when God saves us, yeah, God is out there and he saves us, but then he just leaves us to do and get along the best we can. He kind of goes away and just leaves us on our own. But, you know, I found out that in my own personal life that I really need Jesus Christ in my life much more, it seems like, after I get saved than I did before. So we don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be saved, somebody once told me, but we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to stay saved. I don't know if that's how true that is, theologically, but we need the Holy Spirit in our life, the Spirit of Christ in our life, to help us with our need. Of course, when we get saved, and we're saved, and we're going into eternity, we're in an eternal state, I believe that. But in our life, every day, we have hurts and wants and we still need Jesus every day. And this typifies that Jesus cared for Mary Magdalene even after she'd been following him for a long time. She was crying so much. Her eyes were so swollen that in the low light of the morning, in the dim light of the morning, she couldn't even recognize Jesus. She was so emotionally distraught. And she looked at him and she thought he was somebody else. But when he spoke her name in a tender way, she recognized her Savior. And doesn't the Bible say that? My sheep will know my voice, right? Jesus met Mary's need when he first saved her and got rid of those seven demons in her life. But he continued to minister to her afterwards. He recognized that she had an amazing need and that she still needed him, even at that special moment when he had so many other things going, I'm sure. Jesus always takes time for us, right? He's never too busy for us. And then Easter, to me, also means an amazing sacrifice that God made on our behalf. How amazing it is what God has done for us. A few weeks ago, I remember Pastor Chris talking about reading Leviticus and all the different sacrifices that people had to do and perform. And I'm also listening to the Old Testament along with Edmer, listening to my Bible. I don't listen to it while I'm at work because, you know, it'd be kind of hard to do a wedding while I have the Bible in my ears. But Edmer can weld while he listens to the Bible. But I was listening to Leviticus while doing some morning basic stretching exercises and things and thinking of all those sacrifices they had to do. I could not have been an Old Testament believer because, I mean, you know, you have to take your best animal and, you know, give it to God. And you have to take your best grain and give it to God. And you got to present it in a certain way and do it this way and that way. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, I think I would have probably tried to sneak in my second best animal. You know, I really think I would have. And I'd have been in trouble because that's not what God wanted. What was God saying to these people when he told them to sacrifice their best animal? You know, if you're a farmer, which I was raised on a farm, I know that, you know, when the calves are born, when the baby animals are born, you get to know which one's going to be the strong animal. And you keep that one for breeding, you know, to continue to grow the flock or the herd. So God is saying, yeah, that's the one I want. Bring it over here and kill it and we'll just sacrifice it and, you know, throw it away. I'm going, whoa. God's expecting their best. You know, I'm listening to Leviticus and over, I want your best. I want your firstborn. I don't want anything with a defect. I want your very best. And I'm going to show you how that's done. I'm going to show you how that's done. If you really love and trust somebody, do you give them your second best? No. And neither did God do that for us. God made an amazing sacrifice, not a secondary sacrifice, not a, well, here's my leftover, take it and go. Yeah, take care. I don't need this anymore. You can have it. We do that, right? We're all laughing because, ooh, yeah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 through 6. I'm told by some Jewish Christians that certain rabbis don't like to read this to their congregation because it might become too obvious what they are talking about when they read this. But Jesus, well, Jesus is not born when this is written. This is 1,000 years before Christ was born, but this is the prophecy regarding our Savior. But Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace. Now, this peace is peace with God. This is not peace of mind, you know, peace from war. This is peace with God. Yeah, from our warring with God. The peace that was, you know, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. This is the sacrifice that God made. God punished his son instead of punishing me. one of my friends from San Diego put up a little BC comic, right? Three little frames, right? One guy was complaining to BC, the character, main character. And he said, "Good Friday, I can't understand it. What's good about it?" And BC said to him, "Well, if you were going to be hanged, put to death, and somebody offered to be hanged in your place, how would you feel about that?" And he said, "Good." He said, "Have a nice day." Amen? By Jesus' wounds, we are healed. That word also can be translated in Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek, saved. Also means our physical healing. We pray for people to be healed here, but it means saved as well. We all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the sin or the iniquity of us all. Wow. That's an amazing sacrifice. And before we talk about amazing love, let me continue with amazing sacrifice. Kind of a funny story, cute story. When I was a child, we lived out on a, you know, in the country, and we had a house, an old white cinder house in the middle of, you know, an acre or two of land and, you know, green grass yard. And we had chickens everywhere, and we had some ducks in a pond in the back, and we had a couple of dogs. And somebody gave us a baby lamb, a little lamb, just this big. And it's just white as can be, except its nose and a little bit beyond its nose. It was black. It had one black spot on its nose. And my mom said, "Oh, so cute, I'll take it." And so she named it Snowy. You know, in Louisiana, it never snows, but, you know, she wanted to name this lamb Snowy. Snowy would, you know, we'd go out and play, and Snowy would run with us. And she'd run around with the dogs, and she didn't know if she was a human or a dog. I'm sure she didn't think she was a sheep. But Snowy was so cute, you know, 2 months old, 3 months old, and she's eating grass in the yard. And, you know, we didn't have a big fence around our house, so the dogs knew not to go out in the highway, but Snowy didn't. So she had a couple of close calls. So my mom and dad had a friend who was a farmer who had lots of land out in the country, far more country than we lived in, but had a ranch kind of place with fences and other sheep. So my mom and dad decided to give Snowy away. Well, Snowy was just a friend to us kids, you know, and my neighbors would come over and we'd play with Snowy, and we'd throw sticks for the dogs to fetch, and Snowy would run over there. You know, what dog's running, I'll run too, you know. It was just such an intimate little thing, you know. When she was about 6 months old or so, she got pretty big and getting close to the highway and not quite as smart as a dog. So my mom and dad arranged for that farmer to take Snowy away. So when, you know, it was quite a sacrifice for us kids. You know, when we saw Snowy get into the back of that truck to go away, you know, we're going, wow. You know, it wasn't a dry eye in the house. Even my mom, you know, who's tough. She's a country lady. She's about this big, but toughest woman I've ever met. Even my mom was going, ah. Just terrible. A couple of years later, I kind of wondered, you know, if mom wasn't crying because she felt guilty because maybe Snowy was going to become lamb chops or something. I don't know. I don't know. But now we, you know, that's just a simple little pet. A pet. And we were dying, you know, giving away this pet, you know. For Snowy's sake, we sent her to, you know, this wide open spaces so she wouldn't die. But, you know, from our point of view, we're so hurt. And then, you know, each of us, and Pastor Hiroshi and I tell this every Easter, I think, but we've always talked, you know, we could never be like Jesus and give our sons away for anybody, you know. And Chris has little sons now. Well, I wouldn't give my sons away, you know, like God the Father gave his son, and he only had one. Chris has a dozen, I think, you know. Gonna have that many. Roy, you know. One, his only son, you know. It was a great sacrifice for God to give his son away. And we talk about amazing love. How amazing was God's love? We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. It's just too amazing for the human mind to understand. So today's text is right here. Let me read all of it, first of all. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Man, what a great Easter text, huh? This is it, encapsulated. How great is God's love? For God so loved the world. I kind of wondered, you know, why didn't God describe that when he wrote this? God loved the world this much. You know, we've seen the little kids, you know, with their hands stretched out. And we get an image of Christ on the cross with his arms outstretched. You know, he loved the world this much. He so loved the world. We can't describe that. As I just said, you know, humans, it's hard for us to love another human being, even one human being, enough to sacrifice our only child for that other human being, to sacrifice our own life for somebody else. It's a big deal. You know, you hear about it in wartime. You hear about it, you know, 9/11 and things where people run in and give their own lives. Firefighters do it. Policemen do it. Soldiers, sailors, you know, airmen do it. People in the military give their own lives. But it's not an easy thing. And most of those people who do it, we do it out of duty, right? I was a Marine. I had no doubt that if I was ever called to war, I would go in and do my duty. It wasn't because I loved everybody in America that I would serve. It was my duty. I was trained to do it, and I would have done it easily without thinking about it. But God loved us so very much. Where are the words to describe this? We have only this word. So loved the world this much that he gave his one and only Son. It's an amazing love. If you can comprehend that love, please stay after church and explain it to me. Because I can't. I wouldn't die. I wouldn't give my only Son for me. It's too amazing for me to understand. But it is an amazing love. And that's why we have Resurrection Day. It's an amazing action. How much did God love us? You know, we humans talk a lot, don't we? We say we're going to do so many things. You know, when we are young especially, well, I'm going to do this, and I have this ambition and that ambition, and I'm not going to stop until I get it done. And I promise you, when you come here next week, I'll have this for you. And you come next week, and it's not there. And I've done it. You know, hey, I'll give you a call as soon as I get home. And my phone's ringing. Who's calling me this late at night? Oh, yeah. You know, we say a lot, but do we do a lot? We talk a good talk, but do we act? God does. God didn't just say, hey world, I love you, and then let it go at that. God so loved the world that he gave. He took action. He initiated what became our salvation. It wasn't you and I that thought up, well, I have a need, so I better run to God and get saved. Hey, God, let's you and I figure this out. Save me somehow. I'm a mess. No, God initiated it. He took the action. There's nothing you could do to make God come to you and say, hey, here, let's do this. You know, God took the action. He loved you so much, and he didn't just stop there and say, hey, I love you, and it's the end. He took action. He sent his one and only Son. He gave. He didn't lend. Right? He gave his one and only Son free of charge. Jesus is a gift. It's not something you can earn. It's a gift. Christmas gifts, birthday gifts, presents. They're yours free of charge. God loved you that much. He's not going to charge you one thing. And he gave Jesus Christ. Well, I deserve it. You know, I'm not a bad guy. I haven't killed anybody lately. You know. I'm pretty faithful to my friends and my family. Why shouldn't God save me? Hey, you know, I work hard. I provide for my family. My friends like me. It's not it. It has nothing to do with that. Mary Magdalene, seven demons. Did she deserve? Did she do anything to warrant that God would give his only son for a woman who has seven demons and probably is enjoying that lifestyle? How about how God feels about us? Think about it. Look in the mirror. Look yourself in the eye and say, I deserve God's one and only son. You can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. Amazing, amazing love. Amazing action. God acted and sent Jesus to a world. God knew that this world would not be grateful. God knew that when Jesus started his ministry, there would be a great number of crowds and that they would dwindle to just 120. God knew that. And even knowing that, he still sent Jesus to the world. Amazing action. And here's the part that boggles my mind, is the amazing response. When I was in Bible college, one of my professors was telling us about, in a missions class, about how many people in the world were actually saved versus the number of people who are actually not saved. And I just sat there in the class and began to feel some warm, wet, salty things coming down. You know, I'm cool, you know, I'm a Bible college student. I'm not supposed to be crying just because of numbers. But what amazed me was that I was able somehow a few years before that to respond to the gospel when so many others are not. I don't know how to explain that. How is it that God has allowed me somehow some grace to be able to say yes to him? He has enabled me somehow to have the faith to trust in him. It's an amazing response that I have nothing to do with, it almost seems like. Of course, I have to respond. God gives me the faith and the grace to respond. And I don't know why he does that. Why did he choose me when so many others? I was reading an article on hell this morning by Francis Chan. I wanted to make sure, you know, I hope he's not going the other way. You know, so many are going. And he said in the article, it's some place that we must avoid at all cost. And he said, it's hard for me to think about hell because I have so many friends and family that are heading down the wrong road. Why did God allow me to respond? And this is an amazing response, to say yes to Jesus. Well, let me tell you today, if you're not a believer and you're here today and you're hearing this message, God is giving you that opportunity to respond. That's why you're here today. It's not an accident. If you have not said yes to Jesus Christ yet, if you say to a friend, well, I go to church, but I'm not a believer yet. Today is your chance to make that amazing response because of God's amazing grace, God's amazing love. Nothing that comes from you. It's all God. And we see that also in this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes, that includes you. If you're here today and you're hearing this word, resurrection day can be your resurrection day. You can get new life today as Jesus 2,000 years ago rose from the dead. In the same way, you can rise to new life today. If you just put your trust in Jesus Christ, in the work he did on the cross. Amen. Whoever believes. Amazing need. God knew our need. God knows our need more than we do. Jesus gave us a little glimpse into that amazing need when he reached out to Mary of Magdalene. We studied about Mary Magdalene in our Enokuchi Bible study. How Jesus took time to recognize her in a room full of religious leaders. Jesus recognized Mary Magdalene. And then after he rose from the dead in that cold, lonely garden, his follower, Mary Magdalene, was crying. And he saw even that need in her. and tenderly reached out to her. You know, the King James Version and some other versions in that moment say, Mary, don't touch me. And, yeah, it used to bother me. Why, you know, why wouldn't Jesus let Mary touch him? You know, he's risen from the dead. Has he got some kind of magic body or something? You know, he can't. No, the original doesn't say that. It says, don't hold on to me. Why was she holding on to him? I'm not going to let you go again. I let you go once and you died, you know, and you scared me to death. But now she doesn't want him to go away. And she's clinching onto him, and he's saying, don't hold on to me. I got other things to do. I'll be back to talk to you guys. Amazing need. He met her need. The Father made the most amazing sacrifice of all. In Leviticus, I mentioned that the sacrifices that God had the people of Israel do in those days were to portray and to show what a real sacrifice is. God's amazing love we can never understand. It's beyond our human ability to understand. Then God took even more amazing step when he actually gave his only begotten, lovely, precious, wonderful, sinless son to die for an ungrateful people. And today, we need to reflect. If you're a believer, and you've been a believer for a while, you need to reflect on this resurrection day. How marvelous is God's, how amazing is God's grace in letting us respond to him when so many others have not been able to. Maybe in the future, many more will. But you have been chosen and you're saved today. And that's a wonderful thing to be thankful for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Resurrection Day. Thank you for your amazing love, Lord. You are just so wonderful in your outreach to us. So amazing, Lord, we just cannot describe. We cannot understand, but we are so grateful for your amazing love. Thank you for this Resurrection Day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you one little concluding story. On Friday, my daughter-in-law, who lives near me, Shuko, sent me an email, and she said, "Good morning, Oto-san." I love it when she does that. She said, "I was just thinking about you this morning, and I want to give you a link to a song." And I listened to that song about 20 times. While I was preparing my sermon, I thought, how did she know I was preaching on amazing love? She didn't know. God knew. And Chris Tomlin sings this song, so I sent an email to Karen, or we were chatting, and I said, "Hey, do you know the song Love So Amazing?" And she said, "No, but I can practice it." And then a couple of minutes later, she said, "Is it Jesus Messiah?" I said, "Oh, wrong title." That's why she's worship leader and I'm pastor teacher. So this is the words. Let me read it before they sing it. "Jesus became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing." You can feel free to say amen anytime. Thank you. "Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer," that word Redeemer, "Emmanuel, God with us, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all." Amen. It's not the song.
"He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Rescue for sinners. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Again, sing Jesus Messiah.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from hell. Jesus Messiah, the Lord of all.
Hallelujah. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.